Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Scott Rigby, who is a behavioral scientist, author, and creator of the Motivation Works platform, which is personalized employee engagement. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Hey, so I'm excited to talk to you because I do a lot of things in marketing, from consulting and coaching with my clients and teaching marketing strategy for some universities. And behavioral scientist is intriguing because it's all about what makes people do what they do, personally or professionally. You know, like, you know, Paco Underhill, Why People Buy, you know, that whole, you know, work that I read through in my graduate work. So I'm excited to learn from you and then see what you do with employee engagements. But before we dive into all that, give us a little bit of your background and your entrepreneurial journey to this point in your career.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been great, a great journey over the last 25 or so years. We're getting close to me, Mike, needing to say 30, which I'm not happy about. But in any case, and as you pointed out, it started out as I was being trained as a behavioral psychologist, both in terms of practice, clinical practice, and had that training, but also was very much a research nerd. So did a lot of studies focusing in particular on human flourishing, well-being, engagement, motivation, using a model that has since, in the 30 years since, grown to be the dominant model in the world for understanding these kinds of issues. It's called self-determination theory. And it's just an incredibly powerful model for understanding behavior. And then the entrepreneurial side is I jumped ship out of academia right around early 1990s. And I'm sure the people will remember that's when the internet was being born, and started at the time they called it New Media Agency. I grew that into a 100-person shop. We worked out of Manhattan, did a lot of work for media and entertainment, really learned how to bootstrap. I never went to business school, so I always joke, I didn't understand you were supposed to lose money till you made money.
Yeah, really.
So it was just, we had to just kind of bootstrap it and had a lot of success there. And then I've since gone on to found a couple other companies, including the most recent company I've been doing for about 15 years, which is deliberately to apply the behavioral science to products, to organizations, to organizational life, with the mission of we work to benefit human well-being and happiness. That's our mission. Everything that we do, whether it be a consultative work with a client or helping motivationally design a product or service or helping work with their culture, we don't take any gig unless it passes through that filter of meeting that mission. And so it's really exciting work and very timely work, I think.
Yeah, it really is, because there are outside – I'll bet we could probably talk for 9.5 hours on this. There are internal forces that drive human behavior, and then there are outside forces that drive human behavior. And that could be outside environmental. That could be inside personal experience. So where do you start when you're helping people recognize initially, just be aware of, you know, the human behavior, what drives us? Do you start inside, outside, or is it a combination of both?
Well, that's a great way to frame it. And we actually, what's very powerful about our model is that we look at both, but we do start with an understanding of people. And when we talk about motivation or well-being, we take an approach, and we've really validated this through the research, that, as you might imagine from the title, self-determination theory, that we all have and share basic psychological needs. And those needs are kind of an engine. They're an engine both for, you know, propelling us forward. We want to get those needs satisfied. And they're also a framework for understanding how the environment, when it facilitates the satisfaction of those needs, actually creates the conditions for me to create my own well-being, to create my own vitality, to create my own motivation, and virtually every positive outcome when those two things come together. So it really starts with understanding those needs. And Mike, I'll just say that, you know, need is one of those words that gets thrown around a lot. Oh, we need to give people what they need.
Yeah.
We don't mean it in that way. We mean it in this, like, it's a desire and everybody's different and, you know, it's kind of a more ephemeral thing. We mean it
kinda
in a
like
scientific way.
Kind of like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes. Yes. That's true. Exactly. We actually have, though, what we've done over the years that Maslow didn't do is Maslow postulated those needs, but there wasn't really a strong kind of quantitative validation and nearly the testing of those as actually being distinct categories. We've actually refined them down so that we have three basic needs we know everyone has: the need for autonomy, and we'll talk about each of these in a minute, autonomy, mastery, and relatedness. And those needs are as basic, Mike, as hunger is. So when we talk about these needs, we mean it in the same sense as just the way we, every human being, every living thing physically needs to eat to survive, to drink to survive. Human beings need these three basic needs fulfilled and supported in order for them to thrive. And if when they're not supported and when they're thwarted, that's when we start to see problems emerge.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's almost like Maslow was ahead of his time and didn't have the research to back it up. And now we're backfilling the research to prove what he said. And then you're amplifying it to take it to the next step to apply it to now. So it's really neat to hear that. And when you talk about employee engagement, I feel like it's one of those technobabble, gobbledygook, yeah, cliche words. So what is your definition of employee engagement? What is that really?
So I could talk forever about this one as well. I gave a talk a couple of years ago. It was an employee engagement conference, and I started the talk by saying, you know, can we not focus too much on the definition of employee engagement, because that part's easy, right? If you want to measure employee engagement, you can simply I'll give all your listeners a great employee engagement measure, right?
Okay.
How much do you agree with the following statement? I love my job. Ask people that, have them report, you know, agree, disagree, strong scale. Correlate that with your business outcomes. You're going to see amazing results.
Well, it depends on if you're going to ask them in person or is it going to be a blind, you know, study. Because if you're in a conference room, do you love your job? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah. But if you ask them privately or please submit this anonymously, I think that's when you get the real answer. But I do know where you're going.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And this is going to come to a very important point I want to talk about in a minute called transactionality or ulterior motive. This is something that's very important. So let's make sure we circle back to that. But let me just close the loop on this engagement question, which is, let's say you can ask it in a way that you can get a reasonable response. You're going to get a variety of answers and you're going to see a strong correlation. Here's the problem. And basically, most employee engagement solutions out there are some version of that. They can be more sophisticated. Look, I can ask lots of questions. I can give you a pulse survey. I can give you lots of pretty graphics. I can do a driver analysis. And I'm very deliberately air quoting driver here, Mike, which is because as a research nerd, a driver analysis is just some math on the back end that's correlating your engagement or your other metrics with outcomes. But that doesn't mean it's causal. And because we don't have good frameworks in most of our solutions, we're not able to move the needle on engagement because, you know, engagement is this aspirational, fuzzy, as you put it, you know, feel good outcome that is very important, but its core is an emotional core. We have to get upstream and know what are the experiences that drive and allow engagement to emerge, because you can't directly put your hand on an engagement knob and turn it. And what we have in our framework from self-determination theory are these basic needs I mentioned. If you get upstream and you support these three basic needs, the need for autonomy, which is the need we all feel to endorse what we're doing. We want to feel we believe in it. Sometimes we shorthand autonomy as the experience of I believe. I believe in my work. I believe in my day-to-day. I believe in the mission. The second need is the need for mastery, and that's the experience of I succeed. I'm efficacious. I'm growing. I feel very effective in what I'm doing. And the third is I belong. This is the sense of – this comes out of our basic need for relatedness. This is that sense of inclusion. Really what it is. I'm respected. I'm heard. I'm valued. And I value others on my team. When you really focus on those experiences, those are things where you can take action. And then guess what? No matter how you measure engagement, you create the emotional experience that lets engagement emerge. And this is what's one of the powerful things about our model is we actually have a framework for change that comes out of a lot of proven behavioral science.
You know, when you mentioned those three things, autonomy, mastery, and relatedness, and I'm thinking about employee engagement, you know, I think of the autonomy. To me, this is my perspective, not hearing this ever before until just this moment. I'm hearing as autonomy is like, hey, we're going to give you the tools to do what you need to do. You're going to hopefully become an entrepreneur, be entrepreneurial within the confines of our company. We're not going to micromanage you. We're going to let you have some freedom to grow and build in your job. And then mastery, it reminds me of competence creates confidence. So we're going to help you learn your job so that you can master it and then be very confident within it. And then relatedness maybe has an aspect of community where you're not an island on your own. You're going to be part of the team and the greater team. And maybe there's going to be Zoom sessions or live sessions or team building. So all of those things tie together to then when you ask that question again in 6 months or 9 months, how well do you like your job? Maybe they're like, oh my word, this is amazing.
I think that's exactly right. Let me say one thing, and this is the advantage of having a science behind this, is that when you talk about autonomy is one of those words that we all have a working definition of it that usually pulls towards synonyms like, as you put it, freedom, right, or independence. Mm-hmm. It turns out, though, that that isn't the heart of autonomy, and it's very key in organizational life to remember that people don't have a lot of independence or freedom. Yes, you're absolutely right. No, micromanaging is never a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the opposite of autonomy is control. But what we know from our research is you can have a lot of high structure systems. We work with healthcare. We work with things where there's defined procedures. There's not a lot of room for people to have independence, nor do you want them to have independence, nor do they even want to be independent. Autonomy is about endorsement. So if I have a policy or a procedure or something that needs to be done, what's most important, and this is what's great about the applied model, is we'll get right in the trenches with leaders, right in the trenches with managers and say, okay, here's the process for building autonomy even when there isn't freedom, even when there isn't choice. You need to do the following things. You need to give rationales. Take an extra 30 seconds. Connect the dots. Why is this something that the employee needs to do? What is the rationale? You need to take time to listen to all of their experiences, even the ones that are negative. Don't try to solve. Just listen. Help them feel like their voice is being heard. We have a whole, and we don't have time to go through all of it, but a whole set of applied best practices that come directly out of the science that give everyone the opportunity and the skills to be able to practice this need support. And the one other thing I'll say is this includes the employee. This is the big thing that I'm amazed by when we started to work in this space. Most organizations leave the employee on the sidelines of employee engagement. They collect a lot of data. They ask for a lot of work from the employee. Here's lots of questions. Fill them out. And the employee dutifully does it, usually rolling their eyes. The information goes up the food chain, and they're lucky if a month and a half, 2 months later, they get some kind of town hall meeting with top-level results from leaders, or their managers hold a meeting to talk about some general themes. The leaders get all the data. They analyze it. They sift it through. Managers get reports and data. They also struggle with what to do with it, but at least they get something, and the employees get nothing. Mm-hmm. Our approach is self-determination. Everyone is a stakeholder. Employees get instantly, in our MotivationWorks platform, their own report. It takes 5 minutes to fill out our survey to look at these key experiences. At the end of it, they click, give me my own report, and it gives them insights and it gives them actions that they can take to engage their work more fully and have a better work life. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is leveraging the power of what we know from motivation. And this has been the big mistake that we've made for years. You don't motivate other people.
It starts with you.
We all motivate ourselves. Yeah.
Yep. Well, you could crack the whip and say, do this, and that's pushing people. Nobody likes to be pushed, but when you are properly motivated internally, you're pulled toward that common goal. So that's awesome. And you said two things that I thought was really key. Personalized, because people want something personalized to them, because what's in it for me, and then 5 minutes. You know, so don't make me take a 30-minute assessment that I'm all discombobulated. 5 minutes in, out, and give me a personalized assessment and an action plan of what I can do. Now you're talking. So talk a little bit about your MotivationWorks platform.
Yeah, so it starts with that experience, and then what happens throughout is it's really focused on on setting a tone of support and empowerment, not evaluation and control. And I'll come back to that theme. So when everyone in our approach gets these kinds of insights, it's always framed in terms of here are ways to support you and for you to support your own growth and support those around you. So managers get them, teams get them, individuals get them, leaders get them, but everyone's kind of included in that process. And then the second thing, and this is another great part coming out of the science, is, you know, a lot of times in most of these systems, the people are not, you know, expert in engagement. Even engagement experts struggle to be expert in engagement. Yeah. And so you get these numbers and you give a manager a report and say, hey, our goal is for everyone to get engagement up 5% over the next year. Well, managers don't know how to do that. Why should they? Plus, as last time I checked, they're overworked as it is. And so they get these reports and they either get overwhelmed, you know, somebody drops a giant binder worth of, you know, here, read through this and decide, you know, what's going to best help your situation in terms of improving engagement, or they get no support. They get, you know, make sure you have a meeting once a week with your employees. Mm. Okay, well, that's not enough. What am I supposed to do in that meeting?
Yeah.
Wow. What am I going to accomplish? Listen more. But what am I listening for? What does it mean? We take 30, actually almost 40 years of science. We have hundreds and hundreds of step-by-step recipes based on the validated science. And our platform will give every employee, every manager, every leader, based on their score profile, we will pull from that to give them exact step-by-step recipes of best practices that they can put into place and let them build an action plan. So it's insight and action together, and it's including everyone. And that's why we're getting over 80% participation rates in the organization, and that's sustaining over multiple years. We're just very excited about it because, you know, again, at our heart, it's always been our goal to get this science into people's lives to increase their well-being and make them happier.
Yeah. And the neat thing with that is it's personalized, yes, for the employee, but for the team leader, manager, employer, they now have something to pull up in right before that meeting and go, okay, let me just give a cursory overview here of what Tom, Dick, Harry, Susie, were the meeting coming up, and then they see what motivates them. Because as we know, as you know, that if you want to motivate Susie and say, ooh, I'm going to give you a bonus of $100 for that great job you did, she might appreciate it, but she could appreciate even more one day off and have it a 3-day weekend next weekend, and all of a sudden now that's way better than the $100 or whatever the comparison would be.
Yeah, and actually what she's going to appreciate the most, regardless of what form it takes, is this manager and is this organization supporting me? Do they care about me?
Yeah.
And care and support, this model, when somebody says, okay, but what does that mean? Autonomy, mastery, relatedness, support. Here's how you do it. Here's what it looks like. Here's how to listen for it. All those trainings exist. We've got, you know, hours and hours of training for managers, for leaders around these things. So people can finally put this into practice and the employees can participate themselves, which, by the way, that, you know, managers love that because managers hate being the ones where everything flows and is on their shoulders.
And this is a way when everyone. Am I correct in thinking that this is now like the perfect amplification optimization for the annual review?
Like, oh, yeah.
Who wants an annual review? Check, 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 check. You're doing good. Oh, make sure you improve on this. So your numbers look. So this becomes something where it should not be an annual time. It should be whatever, quarterly, monthly. But this gives you something so that when you come to the annual review, it's like a whole different feel.
That's right. It's transformative and it's care and support versus control and evaluation. You know, none of us want to be evaluated. Yep. None of us want to feel like, oh, I'm being, my worth is being evaluated. Then now that doesn't mean that, look, we're working for companies. I've run lots of companies, as I mentioned. Yeah, there has to be accountability and all these other things, but it can be done in the context of care and in the context of support. And when you do it that way, guess your engagement problems go away. All this elusive struggle, you know, anyone that's looked at this knows Gallup has been looking at engagement and well-being employees for decades. and billions are spent every year on all these different programs. But because they're not working from this foundational base and because they don't have this heart of care and support that, you know, we've been championing, that's why the numbers haven't moved. You know, it's still 30% range of people who are engaged. It just hit, I think it went down for the first time in a decade, Mike, the engagement numbers. And I just have time for one quick anecdote?
Sure.
When the pandemic hit, engagement numbers for a very brief period of time spiked. And they spiked because we were all thrown into a foxhole. And for the first time, that people first rhetoric that's in some version of which is in every organization's mission statement, but most organizations don't put into practice, which is what's created a lot of jaded, cynical employees. For the first time, so many leaders went, I'm going to take care of my people.
Yeah.
We need to protect each other's lives. And guess what? Finally, the thing that employees have been hungry for happened, and there was this immediate, powerful spike in employee engagement.
We're in this together. We're here for you.
Yeah, we're in this together. Right. And we didn't learn the lesson. Organizations didn't learn the lesson.
Yeah.
They went back to business as usual. They lost it. And guess what? Now the numbers are at an all-time low. Mm. Because I think people feel like that trust and that hope that it was finally happening. And it's almost like it was betrayed, you know, and violated. Yeah. And so I think we need to remember, we had a little glimpse of it, even in the numbers, but it's been a longstanding problem. And the framework that I'm talking about and that we're excited about in Motivation Works and through self-determination theory, this is the path forward. And so we're just really excited to, you know, be trying to get this in people's heads and in their hearts.
Yes. Well, and I would suspect that when a manager fully engages in this and they're, you know, doing these things and learning more about their employees, and then they catch the fire of doing this, right, creating the personalized employee engagement, I would venture to say that the top of the top of the top 1% of the managers will find themselves proactively in between the times of assessment, watching for ways to catch their employees doing things right and honoring them in public, the way they want to be motivated, even before these quarterly, monthly, whatever. It's like, oh, hey, you know, hey, quick news alert to team. Just found Betty out there doing the blah, blah, blah. What a great job she did. So, hey, keep up the great work. And now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, now we're getting ahead of things. That's the way you want to do it.
That's it. It becomes a virtuous cycle, right? It lifts itself. And by the way, when managers do this, they're happier too.
Yeah.
But they're supported as well. The employees are supported. And what we do is we stop treating these things as transactions.
Yeah.
You know, this whole carrot and stick transactional, I'm going to control you through these various things, even if they're framed positively, that, if you know, as we've been talking about, that actually runs against our desire to be cared for and our autonomy to be respected. Nobody likes that. And so that's the virtuous cycle. Is when you authentically start to care and you start to offer support, everything improves, including your well-being as a manager or leader.
I love it.
And that's exciting.
Well, Scott, if someone is listening to this going, I might want to take a peek at this Motivation Works platform and create some personalized employee engagement, what's the best way they can reach out and learn more and connect with you guys?
Yeah, well, certainly feel free to contact me directly at scott@motivationworks.com. You can go to motivationworks.com to our website and contact us there. Those are some, you know, primary channels. You can hit me up on LinkedIn, but that's, look forward to hearing from people, and particularly for those who are struggling to solve both engagement and well-being and inclusion and all those, that host of things that so many leaders are trying to solve. This is a tide that rises all boats, this approach that raises all boats. Hmm. And so, look forward to hearing from you.
I love it. Well, Scott, thanks so much for coming on the show today. It's a real pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, Mike, it was a great pleasure. Thanks.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.